Hello.
Hey, day after the election. I'm well aware that's ESPN, but that's the only jingle I know, like off the top of my head.
That's funny. I didn't even realize that. Which is really sad because I hear it all the time.
It's
What's up?
ingrained in a man's
Well,
head. Nothing
yeah.
much. Nothing much. Just living the dream.
How are you feeling?
I'm better.
I can
Better.
hear it in your voice, and you're never
Yeah.
sick.
That's why it was so dramatic. 'Cause I was like, what is this? Why am I coughing? I can't breathe. It had
You have
been
the Rona?
no, I was COVID negative. I'm guessing it was just RSV 'cause it was only 3 days of feeling bad. I can taste and smell now. Thanks to bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Thanks
yeah, it
to
was my
bourbon.
first time having a cold in like 4 years, so I didn't really know how to act.
In shock. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm sorry that you're feeling sick.
No,
That's
it's
never fun.
cool. No, just ruined my vacation. No big deal.
Yeah, are you on vacation? Because you told me you weren't at work, and I
Oh
assumed that was
yeah.
because you were sick, but then I heard that it's because you took time off.
Yeah, I took a week off. If I were still going to work, I would go there to make other people sick because I want people to feel my pain.
That's sweet.
It's
Kind.
just that's the type of person I am. But no, I didn't have any big plans. I went to a wedding. I just needed a break from responsibility.
Oh, you took the week off post
Well, the
wedding?
way Yeah, the wedding was last weekend. I just didn't want to go to work this week.
Well, that's actually probably smart.
Yeah, I'm on a roll now. I mean, yours was the first wedding I went to. Now I'm at four.
Nah. You got
Yeah,
friends,
yeah.
Will. You got friends.
Well, I actually read the mail. I guess that helps. But now
Well, that's
I'm
true.
at four weddings.
Four weddings. It sounds like it's like the start to a description of a movie or something.
Yeah, they're not like the wedding crashes at all. Like it's,
The weddings you've been to?
yeah, a lot of the women there have respect for themselves, so it's not like the movies. It's kind of
Yeah.
lame. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't
That
care.
one.
Yeah, no, it's cool. They respect themselves. No big deal.
God, how dare women do that?
I know. I
Bitches.
know. Exactly what I was thinking.
Well, glad we cleared that one up.
Speaking of women having opinions and respect for themselves,
Oh boy.
what are your thoughts on the election?
I like that's how you line that one up.
Yeah, 'cause that's what this whole election was based on.
I mean, I'm gonna go
Oh, and
with
crime.
it turned out the way I thought it would. I actually feel like slightly hopeful, which is probably dumb. But I'm feeling like sl the slightest bit of optimism because what I realized today is that there are, sometimes I get really down because I think about all the people who are hateful, racist, really shitty people who I just don't identify with. And that it sometimes feels overwhelming, like it's this whole country. And today I kind of reminded myself that there are a lot of people who feel that way, but half the country doesn't feel that way. So, like, there are a lot of people who I do relate to. So that's good.
That is
Feeling a
good.
little hopeful.
And that is I'm glad it's only half. Otherwise, we would have a bigger problem than we already do. But yeah, I
Yeah.
saw that too. even through Twitter and comments and stuff I was reading, I was like, oh, well, some people are decent.
Yeah. Like, it's not as bad as it maybe feels. There is hope. And then I was reading about, like, the first Gen Zer that was elected, and he seems like a cool guy. I don't know. Like, I'm like, okay, there's hope for the future. So I'm actually
Gen
like,
Z.
Yeah, he's 25.
How old is God? Elected to what?
I think his like city council.
Like a congressman? Yeah. Damn.
I don't remember exactly. I don't even remember what state. I just remember the headline caught me because it was like first Gen Zer elected. And he's 25, and he's this cute kid who, actually, I think he's either mixed or black. He's kind of light-skinned.
25.
But, yeah, he's really cute. And he, like, ran on, you know, basically wanting to fix the environment, reduce guns, and give people their rights, and it gives me hope.
So he's not in the South.
Yeah, I forget where. I should have. It's funny that I can't remember where he was from, but someone out there listening to this knows.
I can't imagine running for anything at 25.
It may have been Vermont, but that's a big maybe. Don't quote me on that. So, anyways, I know, me too.
Wow.
I, at 25, was not mature enough for that.
No way.
I mean, I wish I was. Okay, also, speaking of, like, Congress people / city councilmen. So, at our work, a few months ago, we had an Atlanta city councilman come speak for part of the D&I initiative, Matt Westmoreland. Did you hear about this at all?
No.
Okay, so he is came out as gay, like, I think a year into his role, and his partner is, I think his name's Malik Brown. He's really cute. He works also in government affairs and works for the city of Atlanta on, like, helping LGBTQ rights and stuff like that. So they came to our work to kind of talk about what they do, and it was all part of this D&I series. And so I meet this guy, Matt Westmoreland, then. He's my age, and he went to Grady. I'm like, oh, that's funny, like, we know definitely similar people, and I introduced myself afterwards and kind of played the, you know, Atlanta name geography, which I think is very much like a Jewish thing. You're always like doing Jewish geography with people. like that's the thing. There's even like a game show that actually was invited to come do, and I'm remembering now I did not respond to the email. Oops. Anyways, I digress. Then fast forward a few weeks later, and I'm at the Pride Parade, and I am looking for our work group, and I have no idea where they are. There's thousands of people there, and I see this guy that I recognize, and I'm like, oh, that guy works where we do. Like, I'll ask him. So I'm like, hey, do you know where our section is? And he looks at me and he's like, what? And then I'm like, oh, wait, you don't work at my organization. I just met you through my organization. He was like, cool, happy Pride. And it was like really funny and random. Then I am this week sitting in a Starbucks parking lot because I had to finish a meeting before running inside to get a coffee. And who walks right by my car? Him, this Atlanta city councilman. Then, that was yesterday. Then today, I am looking up organizations that have volunteer programs. And I look up, oh God, what organization was it? I don't even remember. But I look up an organization that I'm interested in, that I want to start partnering with to volunteer. And there's a video about how important it is. I think it was the American Red Cross. And who's in the video talking about this program? Him. How weird is that?
The man you walked up to.
Yes, Matt Westmoreland, our Atlanta, he's an Atlanta City Councilman. So now I feel like the universe is telling me that I need to reach out to him and be like, hey, I think I'm supposed to be your friend. Maybe it's because I'm one day going to go into politics. Do you want to? The way.
That, okay. All of that sounds good, but maybe not lead with, I think I'm supposed to be your friend. Because that's fucking terrifying. So I would be like, you know what? Don't DM me anymore. Maybe just a little lighter. I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you about volunteering and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to be a senator.
I should be like, hey, I feel like you're stalking me. And then he's going to be like, oh, wait, this girl's stalking me.
Right. Everybody's sense of humor is different. I would probably laugh at it, but he might actually get scared. He's like, that's the third time.
Actually think someone's stalking him because he doesn't know me. Yeah.
I don't think she's getting a point. I was at the Pride rally, like, beat it, lady. Like, you don't have a shot.
It's just really weird. I mean,
that is a sign.
It's too many times in a row.
Atlanta's not that small. It's small, but it's not that small.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So that is indeed a sign. I would agree. But again, don't leave with the friend talk because that's scary.
Anyways, we'll see. More to come on that. Stay tuned. Follow us on Bagels and Kool-Aid. See where that one ends up.
Yeah.
Soon you're going to see a headline, Matt Westmoreland has stalker.
Which publicity is good publicity. You know what I mean? It'll bring in the ears. So it's fine. You're not going to do a lot of time. You'll be all right.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So that was
a
weird election day for you.
Yeah.
How were your lines?
What lines? Oh, for voting?
To vote?
How was that?
Not cocaine.
I voted early. And yeah, let's just put it out there. I've never done cocaine. Too afraid that it would make me a psycho.
Or really fun to be around, huh?
You know, no? Someone else. Okay. Someone, when I was in high school, I had a music teacher who I took private lessons with, and she told me that she would love to see me on cocaine because she thought I'd be really funny. And I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting.
This was a teacher that said this.
Yep. She lived in Cabbage Town when Cabbage Town was still a very sketchy place to be.
That says it all.
Yep. And now I live like 2 minutes away from where she lived, and her house is probably worth at least $500,000, if not more now.
She sold that house a long time ago for blow.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I don't think she actually ever owned the house.
No.
No clue where. Also, her boyfriend would be there, and he'd like always be shirtless and then smoking a bong. Like, kind of hidden, but also I knew what he was doing, so clearly not that hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't own the house. She sounds really cool, though.
That art school experience for you.
Yeah, I think I would have. That sounds like fun. No, it wasn't super bad.
When did you vote? On election day?
Well, yeah, because you were giving me shit about it. I'm just like, all right.
I know. God. What got you? When I said, if you don't vote, then there's no hope for anyone.
No, it was just the multiple texts. And I felt like it was going to continue. So I just left.
It was.
But no, the hope thing didn't bother me. I'm a pessimistic person anyway. So that had no impact on me at all. But I was just like, oh, she's not going to stop. The only downside was it was at a church.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh man, is my skin gonna burn? I don't know how this is gonna go. It didn't burn.
I'm glad. I'm actually kind of surprised that I don't know that. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that there are voting locations within churches, but it almost seems
it's
like
Georgia.
They keep it separate.
Yeah. No.
I mean, who really cares? Like, that doesn't.
The biggest issue on the ballot is about God. So, no. No, it's church and state is not even a thing anymore.
Wait, what do you mean the biggest issue?
Abortion.
Oh.
Abortion. That. Yeah, that's the biggest fight. And that's all about God.
That isn't. Let's be real. Well, anyways. I voted early at Ponce de Leon Library and waited in line for probably 40 minutes, 45.
That's not
terrible. It wasn't like terrible. Gone longer, that's for sure.
I didn't know that library was still open.
Yeah, actually, it was the first time I've been in it in a really long time. It was really nice. I tried to take Leo to the library tonight, in fact, and I was going to go there, but it was kind of late. So then we went to East Atlanta Library, and freaking, it's like 7 minutes from my house, but traffic was so terrible that it took us over 30 minutes to go, like, I don't even think it's a mile. And we got there at 5:58 and the library closed at 6. So that was cool. We returned our expired books, and that's it. Well,
wait, you still check out books from the library?
No. Oh yeah. Well yeah, because when you have a kid, it's like you don't want to buy all those books, and you kind of get bored, you know.
I assume. Yeah,
actually, I love the library.
I don't mind it.
Kind of feels like a magical place.
It's really quiet.
It is. Unless
you don't have to do small talk.
Unless my children are in it, it is really quiet. Leo walks in and he's like, wow, computer! And he's screaming. And I'm like, quiet voice, quiet voice.
Computer.
But, you know, it is kind of, it's such a cool concept. The idea of like sharing with your community. Like, that's
yeah.
What it is.
I remember me and my father, in the brief time we were close, he used to talk about going, I think it was the Ponce Library, because he was big into reading, and he was a really smart dude. And I would always be like, man, let's go see the Braves or the Falcons. He's like, nah, we're going to go to the library. I was just like, this is so fucking lame. But when I got older, I appreciate it because I would find myself going to the library and I would hear him. I would only go because I remember him saying it. Yeah.
That's so sweet. It's like a special place.
But I do. Yeah. So when I'm in there, I feel him judging me.
Yeah. It's like kind of magical. There's something about libraries. I feel like it's almost like a time capsule. Like you remember.
I was just about to say that.
Because I also, like, when I go to the library, it, like, brings back lots of memories from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, not quite as sweet. I mean, not sweet, but.
Well.
Yours is especially sweet.
I got rejected a lot by girls in middle school and elementary school in libraries. It was good times.
Oh.
Rejection
in the library.
Well, that's how I knew to just keep shooting. You know what I mean? Just don't give up.
Wait. Oh, good for you, Will. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Still my mantra. But
how's it going? How is that going?
What? Getting rejected?
No. The dating life.
You know, it's here and there. Mainly because, you know, I don't really... I was at that wedding, though. I don't know how we got on my fear of commitment. But I was at the wedding, even though I was sick this week. And the whole time I was sick, I was just like, damn, I didn't lock the garage door. You know, it would be nice to have someone that could lock doors when I was sick. Just other stupid shit like that. So, yeah, I'll probably get married next year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, well, no, wait a minute. Not married. Not married. Not married. I'll share a residence probably.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I like it. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Well, I'm getting old as fuck, so I got to do something.
Seriously. First, it's the garage lock. The next thing you know, it's going to be like, who knows?
Getting help out of bed. Yeah.
Exactly.
No. No.
Getting help when making you're sick. It to the doctor for your colonoscopy.
I'm holding that off till 70 when I just don't give a fuck about anything. Now, the worst time to be single is when you're sick and holidays. Every other time of the year, you can be as selfish as you like and it's beautiful. But on holidays and when you're sick, you're like, damn.
Yeah.
This isn't cool.
Holidays are definitely tough.
And I don't even care about the holidays. It's just the commercials.
Yeah, no, there's something about it. I feel like I boomerang to an ex-boyfriend or two during that time. Many, many holiday sessions, you know, when you know you shouldn't be with them, but it's better to be with someone than no one.
Yeah, who are you talking to? Come on. What were we talking pre-pod? You know, of course I know. But no, That's normally when those texts get sent out. It's around the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know it's been a while and it didn't end great, but I was thinking about you, which isn't true.
Want to hang out?
You're never thinking about them. Yeah, exactly. You should come over, man. What's going on? Yeah, it's always a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't end well. That's true. That is true.
No, it rarely does. It rarely does. But like enough about dying alone.
Yeah. There's so many things that I've like recently have come up and I'm like, oh, I need to talk to Will about that. I gave you a shout out the other day.
I don't. What happened there?
I was in. Uh-oh. It was called. Well, yeah, I did it like in front of a lot of people.
Nice.
It's called Schwartz Rounds. It's based. Have you heard of that?
Like the toy company?
Like FAO Schwartz. Same name, but different concept. Basically, Schwartz rounds are different hospitals do it. The family who like sponsors it, obviously their name was Schwartz. And there's a whole story about it. But the man, he was a patient and really admired like all the hardships that the people taking care of him went through. And when he passed away, I think from cancer, their family gave this huge grant to create Schwartz Rounds, which creates a space for hospital employees to come together, share stories, and just like have the time to reflect. And it's a resilience technique. So
I think that is the same family because I've heard this before.
As FAO Schwartz?
I think it is the same family. I actually do.
Maybe, because actually I want to say his name was Frank or Ken. Either one of those two. But it may have started with an F. Who knows? This is a good, I'll research that when we hang up. So there's always a few speakers and there's a theme. And the speakers like give their stories and share, and then it opens up. And every single time that I go to it in person, I'm like, okay, I am not going to speak because I don't want to be the person who people are like, oh, great, Colette's here. She just always talks. So I like literally go into this one and like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, I'm really not going to say anything. But it was about, the subject for this one was who's your greatest teacher. And so the three people gave their stories. They were really sweet. Then people started talking, giving their own stories, sharing like who their best teachers are. It was really sweet. And then there kept being like this silence. And I really struggle when you're in a group setting where someone's supposed to be talking and it's just silent. Like, that gives me more anxiety than most things in life. I'm sure you
that
probably
is so weird to me.
Do not feel that way.
No, I'm so comfortable in that situation.
No, I like squirm in that situation. So of course we have like 20 minutes left and they're like, anyone else want to share? And just looking around the room and I'm like, internally struggling. And I'm like, okay, I'll just do it. And I spoke up and I was like, I can share something. And I was like, I think one of my best teachers in life is my friend Will, who I met 8 to 9 years ago, which I think is true, right?
Yes, 2014.
Yeah. And I said that we used to carpool together. I did not mention our podcast. That would have been a little too much. But I was like, you know, we have had conversations and I've just learned so much from him about the world and life and people. And it just really goes to show the power of conversation. And that was my shout out to you. Oh, I know. Stop it, right?
If I hadn't blown all the mucus out of my face, I would cry.
Aww. But
yeah, I'm dried up. I can't do anything.
You've taken much mucus or mucinexy that you are.
I can't. I'm dry. There's nothing there. That's sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Will. Thought I'd share that with you.
I've learned a lot from you, which is, God, we're getting so good at this, mainly about the Jewish community. And as you know, you guys are trending. So are we. So it's bagels and Kool-Aid. That's they could lead every news story with bagels and Kool-Aid because it's. Mm. I feel like
there's
every news story is
friends.
To. Yeah, is to make. It's like, who can we turn against you? Oh yes, they're feuding. Let's pour fire. Let's pour fuel on it. We don't have to stay on the issue too long, but you are of the Hebrew faith, and if anything happens in my community, we talk about it. So, Kanye, how do you feel?
I mean, Kanye is just the biggest idiot there is, pretty much. Like, I actually feel bad for him in a way because I feel like we're, you know, unfortunately watching someone. Many people have like mental breakdowns, but they do it in the privacy of their own home / family. And Kanye, I mean, I do not feel bad for him, but he does. Tiny, tiny, smaller than an ant, but they're not there. I mean, he's an idiot, and nothing that he says makes any sense. Wearing a white Lives Matter shirt does not make sense.
You know what's funny about that? Black dudes, I think in Arizona, they trademarked the White Lives Matter slogan.
Oh yeah.
So I now he can't use it without paying them, and they want $1 billion.
Yeah. Yep.
And that I was just like, damn.
I know.
Touche.
Hilarious. I mean, he's just like, it's just embarrassing for him, and he's stupid.
It's wild to watch, man. To see somebody come from nothing, get so high, and then just all of it is just fading.
Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal to watch.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, part of me feels bad for him, but then also what he's doing, he's playing with fire. and he...
Yeah, he's noticed.
Yeah, he... But, and I'm not even talking about playing with fire in terms of, like, the retaliation that came from what he said. Like, I'm glad that everyone acted the way they did. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, people in L.A., I think it was L.A., hung a sign over the interstate saying Kanye was right, and how in Brookhaven, on a church sign, someone spray painted Kanye was right, the something about the Jews. Like, I mean, there's been a lot.
Brookhaven of, here?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Where a lot of Jewish people live.
Yeah, Brookhaven. Yeah, that's where I'm like, wait.
Yeah. No, I mean, hate breeds hate. So when people see, especially famous people saying it, just like when Donald Trump is hateful, like it excuses them and allows them to come out of their dark, disgusting corners and pretend that they have a platform, which is a problem.
That is, it's so weird because I saw the story in California and they were neo-Nazis. And
yeah,
but they were quoting a black dude, and I'm just like,
yeah,
you guys can't even hate correctly.
Like, yeah.
Adolf is not proud of this. He's disgusted. You're quoting a black rapper. And I'm just like, God, this is, I mean, it's so stupid. Like, I can't even take your hatred serious.
I know. Like, it's just, well, and then
it was just so dumb.
The basketball player, his last name is Irving, which makes me really sad.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
He went on a whole rant as well. And
well, he posted a film that they said was anti-Semitic.
Oh, right. But then didn't he say some stuff, too? I thought I read an article about him. I'm pretty sure he
He didn't say anything that was anti-Semitic. He was just trying to... He didn't want to apologize.
Yeah.
And my only problem with that... I mean, he did apologize because he said he saw it was some stuff in the film that he understood why people were offended. And he apologized. But they're still... Like, they've got this six-point plan of all this stuff he has to do to play again. I mean, what he did, may have offended. He apologized, though. And they're killing him. Kanye kept repeating it. He didn't apologize. So I get why people don't want to move on from that. But Kyrie said, okay, I watched it. I see why some of it. I apologize. But they still... And Amazon's not getting any of this. And that's what I'm just like, wait.
What do you why mean is Amazon's Jeff Bezos not getting any of this?
Because they're profiting from it. Like the sales of the film.
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. And nobody says, well, why are you selling this?
Yeah. I mean, that's an issue. And I don't understand why that's not like part of the debate. I get why. I mean, he is a basketball player who... The head of NBA is definitely a Jewish guy. I forget what his name is, but like...
Adam Silver?
Something like that. Yeah, like that man is
Jewish. Why would you say definitely... Why would you say that? What are you trying to say?
That he has a Jewish name.
Oh my God, you just... That's it, you're done.
I mean, done. Is that a bad thing to say? Bernstein is a Jewish
not for
name.
You. Yeah, I wouldn't say it out loud, but it's fine for you.
I don't really see what's wrong with saying that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No, it's nothing wrong for you to say it because you're Jewish. I can't say that. That's crazy.
I mean, I guess I'm thinking like,
I would say it to you in the privacy of a conversation. I wouldn't say it out loud.
A black name, that would sound weird. I would not say that.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess
if I hear anything that ends in like Steen or something, like, oh, and I assume they're Jewish and they turn out, no, no, they're not Jewish at all. I'm like, oh, now it's awkward.
Well, yeah. So,
but yeah, you're right. He is.
He already plays. Yeah, he plays for a company that's owned by a Jewish person. So, like, they can retaliate. Versus Kanye, I mean, the retaliation came from all these different companies dropping him.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's just money isn't everything. But to go from being a billionaire to just simply a 100 millionaire, ugh, gross. It's disgusting.
Yeah. I wonder how much he had to change his lifestyle because of all of it.
Well, I think when you have 400, 500 million and 1 billion, I don't think it's that big a difference. I mean, like, what can you do that you couldn't do before? Like, after you pass $200-300 million, what's the difference? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I feel like if you're taking private planes where it's like, you know, a couple $100,000 for one trip, like, if you're people who are really rich start spending money in a way that's like really actually kind of hard to understand.
Like, but it sounds so fun.
Their day-to-day life is like, you know, $100,000 here, $100,000 there. That's just crazy.
Sounds delicious. So
I imagine that you do kind of have to adjust from billionaire to millionaire. Maybe not.
I would love to have that issue. I would love to be like, God damn it, now I'm down to 400 million. What the hell am I going to do this weekend?
It doesn't it sucks.
No, it can't possibly. Even though his ex-wife, who probably hates him now, is still a billionaire, and he helped build her empire. That's probably the worst part of all of
this. I'm like, sure he's not happy about it all.
No, but he's on a sabbatical. He said he's going to go 30 days without speaking. So, I don't know if that's good or bad with him.
I wonder if Kanye has the same anxiety I have about not talking, except that I don't think we have the same issue.
That could be the problem, because he doesn't formulate his thoughts. He just speaks.
Yeah.
And he speaks about 10 different things at one time, and he doesn't fully formulate an opinion on the first thing, and then he goes to the next. It's like watching a kid that just, like, playing with 8 different toys. You're like, please stop. Just play with this one for an hour. But
yeah,
I don't know, man. He's
special.
It's terrible to watch. Terrible.
It is. But yeah, also, like, just not cool to be anti-Semitic, just like it's not cool to be racist. And I am over all these, like, come on, let's move forward. Let's just stop hating people who are different. Let's give people their rights and their freedoms and move forward, people. We really
the
have
only thing
issues to worry about.
Well, and that's why they're publicizing this, to take your mind off of those big issues. Every time there's like a bigger issue, some race thing comes up. It never fails.
I mean, there
never fails.
Is always a big issue. Like, the fact that we are quickly killing our world is an issue.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I think the bigger problem with even anytime there's, especially I guess now with Jews and Blacks, they're going straight to taking everything and counseling and stripping this and stripping, and I get it. But there's never any reconciliation. There's never any sit downs to try to better understand the other side. It's just, let's destroy him, ruin him, make him broke, and then move on. But the problem doesn't get fixed, because it'll happen again, because we're not actually talking about anything. It's just punishment. And that, it's frustrating to watch.
I mean,
because I'm,
so do
it's
you
just gonna
think
it's gonna happen again.
What will happen again? Kanye specifically, like, going on a rant?
No,
that's
No, there'll be another rich person who'll say something against Jewish people. May not even be black next time, but it's just, if you're not fixing the problem or addressing it.
How do you fix it? How do you fix it?
I mean, at the top, instead of just, I don't know, maybe sit down, maybe have, you know, a black group, Jewish group, just sit down and unleash all they have.
Like, I know.
I mean, with these people that say stuff like him and Kyrie, like, just sit down and address everything and don't sugarcoat it. Say how you really feel and just leave it in that room. But
how do
if
you know that's not happening?
Well, because they've been punished already. They're not going to listen and they're not going to be open to talk.
How do you know it didn't happen before they were punished?
With Kanye West?
I mean, what I think probably sparked it is that Kanye felt threatened by a producer or whoever of his who's Jewish because they didn't like what he was saying and putting out there. And they probably said, like, you know, can't say these things.
Yeah.
And so I think the conversation was there, but you're telling a mentally unstable person to stop or to not do that, or like, this is harmful. You can't say these things in public. But you're saying it to like a very mentally unstable person. So that person's not going to rationally be like, okay, I'll stop. If anything, it just sparks what happened. It pushes him to go on a very public platform and start doing hate speech. I think that Kanye saying what he did was a reaction. Like he was angry.
But therein lies a problem because coming from the black community, this isn't a new feeling to a Jewish people. This is prevalent in the black community. That's why I'm saying
it's not just the black community, though.
No, it's not just the black.
Is prevalent all over the place.
Yeah. But that's why I'm saying I don't really have a, there's no quick fix, because this is, since I've been a child, I've heard the same arguments. So it's not a quick fix, but it should be addressed rather than like the media is just, it's just frustrating, because I'm like, you're just making it worse and nothing's going to ever get solved. And 2 years from now, we're going to have the same conversation about different celebrity that said the same things.
So, because I'm trying to understand where you're coming from exactly. You feel like in the black community, there's a lot of people who think a specific way about Jews because that's what they know about Jewish people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they don't really know Jewish people. So, except that Jewish people are rich. Jewish people are powerful. Like, those kind of generalized.
Yes, that is the image. That is the prevailing image of Jewish people in the black community. They control the media. They're rich. They're this, they're that. Mainly because they've never had a conversation with a Jewish person who's not in control of the media. It's the same way, like a white woman from Nebraska would meet me and be afraid, because all she knows is what she sees, and what she sees is not a great representation. So she would clutch her purse and she would be afraid. It's the same thing that black people, when all we know, well, not we, but well, I when I was younger, that's all I heard, so that's all I knew until I started talking to people. But all you hear and all you get reinforced is the same thing that Kanye said. They run Hollywood. They control everything. You better not say anything. No crush. This is like a prevailing thought in the black. It's not just those two guys. Like, it's a real thought. And the only reason I'm saying to go straight to counseling and not actually having this conversation, then this thought is never going to go away. And the fact that they're punishing these guys and destroying them, and that's fine if you offend my, I get it. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But when you go straight to punishing, then you're not helping the main problem. It's only getting worse.
Yeah.
Not just for black, for like white people who don't like Jewish people. They're going to see this and like, oh, look what they did to them. Yeah. See, they were right. So I just wish it had been addressed and then punished. Like, but I know that's not good for media.
I don't know how it would be addressed in a...
Oh, Nick Cannon is a great example. He said something a few years ago that was not very Jewish friendly. And he sat down with a rabbi for an hour and had a conversation. And I felt like...
Like on TV?
On his show. The rabbi said, I'll come talk to you on your platform. And they talked for an hour. And they said everything, how they felt about the other side. Nick Cannon said everything he felt. And a rabbi told him why this, why that. And I think that was helpful. And it was peaceful. And it was just, I don't know. I just wish that's how things got solved. Because that rabbi, he didn't have to do it, but he did.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying. And I get what you're saying. And I don't disagree with you. And I think it is, oh, hang on. Excuse me. A really important point. Excuse me. However.
Did I give you a cold through the...
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm lying on my closet floor and it clearly is dusty. I also think that you have to kind of recognize who you're having the conversation with. And Nick Cannon is a whole lot more mentally stable of a person than Kanye West. And like, would Kanye West really, if you give him the platform to have a conversation with a rabbi or whoever, is he actually going to use that space wisely and listen and have like a decent conversation? Or is he going to be Kanye West, where he does not care? I mean, he has mental problems. And I'm sure that he probably could be considered like a total narcissistic, you know, personality disorder.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think Kanye West is a narcissist? What would... Where'd you get that from?
What a crazy Jew.
He has a song. Oh, man. He has a song on the Life of Pablo album. And it's basically, it's called I Miss the Old Kanye. And he's rapping, talking about all the good things about the old Kanye. And then he ends it with like, I miss Kanye like Kanye misses Kanye. And I'm, every time I hear it, I'm just like, this guy is different. This is a different arrogance. I'm pretty arrogant myself, but that's a different level.
No, I think he has like personality disorders. So where I totally agree, I do think it's important to have those conversations and open space for that. I also don't know if giving someone a platform, you know, like if one of the big news companies was like interview with Kanye West, and Kanye West is sitting down with like some Jewish producer to have a conversation and figure out their differences, I'm not sure that would go well.
Probably now, more so with Kyrie.
It would or wouldn't?
I think Kyrie's an intelligent dude. I mean, he's an athlete, but he's an intelligent
Daniel talks a lot of shit about this guy. And he has always, and the only reason I know that is because one of our friends lives in Brooklyn and gave Leo a Kyrie shirt that says Irving on the back because my grandfather was Irving. And so I like always used to put Leo in the shirt. He's outgrown it now. But Daniel was like, we should not put him in that shirt because he said other things too that are bad.
Well,
like I think he was like an anti-vaxxer maybe.
Yeah, he refused to get the vaccine and he believes the earth is flat. Those are only two times he's gotten in trouble. Well, not trouble, but those are only two, I guess, controversial things. It's just the anti, he didn't want to get the vaccine and he believes the earth is flat.
I mean, yeah.
But that's it. Like, he doesn't say like outlandish. Well, I guess to some people that would be. But before those two things, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a weird dude.
I don't know if that would be a good conversation either. I mean, maybe I'm being too harsh here, but.
No, it's fair.
Sounds like a lot of mentally unstable, not that mentally unstable people can't have these conversations. I just don't know if it's the right environment for like solving the problems. I think what's important is that, like, so my temple or synagogue, whatever you want to refer to it as, is very, very connected with the Black community in Atlanta, and specifically with Martin Luther King's church, and does a lot of programming with them so that people can like get to know each other and make these connections and have conversations. It like creates a space for that. So I think that is probably the best way, that as long as these communities are reaching out to each other. I don't know.
I didn't know
to
that.
To me, it's a silly idea for Black people to not like Jewish people, because if there's any type of white person that understands a little bit of, you know, feeling different or hated against or whatever, I would think that it's probably Jewish people over most. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah, it would probably be Jewish people and Irish, but yeah, you guys are definitely probably the closest comparable in the white race. So yeah, I would agree with that. I think the biggest issue is the average Black person doesn't, again, all they know of Jewish people is success. Mm-hmm. And they don't know anything else. All they know is success and power. So it's hard to get that commonality.
That most Black people know that like Jewish people were hated and exterminated for a long time, and then that there's
the Holocaust, you mean?
Hate. Yeah.
Maybe the Holocaust, but that would be the extent of it. It's not taught.
Like, yeah, it's interesting. That it's is not actually taught. A very interesting thought and concept, that because like
think about in your school, not.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you're right. In temple.
Yes, I was taught through my synagogue.
Exactly.
That it was. I knew it was an issue because I would feel it. You know, like people, and it's really a problem now. Like when I teach 16-year-olds, and they all say that there's all sorts of horrible things said every day about Jewish kids, talking like tons of Nazi Holocaust jokes that are supposed to be funny. There's a lot of kids who like deny the Holocaust now.
I didn't realize there was a group of Holocaust jokes. I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
That's a bit morbid.
Yeah. There's Holocaust deniers. There's a lot of people who will like write on bathroom walls that, you know, Jewish people should die or whatever kind of thing. There's a
like
lot
in
of
school.
People. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No.
It's like worse than it ever was.
You get a chapter in public school. and it's Anne Frank and the Holocaust, and then that is all.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, so if you're in there in the city and there are no Jewish people in your community, all you know is power and wealth. And even if you hear something, if you hear a Jewish person being ridiculed or getting hatred, in your mind it's like, well, I mean, you're rich and powerful, so what difference does it make? There will be no empathy there, because in a Black community, you're still winning in this country.
Right.
So there's no empathy there. And that's just being real.
No.
If you're Black, you feel, yeah, you're Black, you feel like everybody's against you. And then when you hear about a Jewish person or Asian person getting hate, you're like, you know what? Fuck off, man. Because you're not Black. You don't know what it's like. So, and that's the mentality. It's like, nobody has it worse than us. Nobody's ever had a heart.
Right.
Because that's all we know. Right. We haven't learned or been taught.
Yeah. No, I think it's really interesting, and it just goes to show that Jewish communities really need to do a lot more outreach and education and partnership with Black communities, because if like you grew up with like this outreach from a Jewish community where, I don't know, you know, like there was some kind that they were coming either to your school or to your church or whatever, and like there were community events together, it would create a relationship between both, and it would help both sides understand.
I mean, that was a thing during the civil rights movement.
Yeah. I'm now
seeing, I mean, I saw
Bagels and Clay Corporation. I can see it now. We go into communities and host conversations with Bagels and Kool-Aid. Not kidding. I'm having a whole vision come to me.
I enjoy Kool-Aid and bagels, so I'm not against it. I'll probably be there.
Maybe we add lox and pickles to really combine the whole thing.
I also like lox on a bagel, which is so. And I was just, sometimes I'll be eating my bagel and lox with my cardigan on, and I'll be like, oh man, it's like I've embraced a whole nother community. Look at me. Look at me.
Are you like, Dr. Brown seemed to be so proud?
He would. I'm more Jewish than his daughter.
And most of his daughters, that's true.
Well, yeah. No, but it has to start. It can't start with celebrities, because that's not what a problem. Celebrities used to be regular people in the inner city. So it starts at the ground. You can't change the mind of an adult. You have to change your mind before it's fully formed. Well, you know, no, that's not true, because I was a horrible racist up until my 20s. So you can't change their mind.
You can't.
That's not true.
You can't.
You can't. You definitely, because, I didn't talk to white people. I didn't want to be around them. I didn't talk to them until like 23, 20, until my dad died, honestly. And I found out at work, and I mean, it was a white person that was just comforting, and I hadn't seen that before. Because in my mind, you know, whites were the enemy. So for this woman to be comforting, and because I didn't know how to feel, like we weren't like super tight, but you know, he's still my dad. So, and I'm at work, and she could tell something was wrong. And she was just being so, Sarah's her name, and she was being so pleasant and so helpful and so maternal, even though she's not old enough to be my mom. She was just being maternal when my mom wasn't around. So it was just like,
was she like a manager of yours, or was she?
No, she was a nurse. Mm. She was a nurse on the floor. But I was reading the email, and I guess it was something in my face, and she could tell something was wrong. And she sat back there with
you
me and got me water.
You found out via email?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I found out.
Wow.
My other siblings, I guess. My sister, we had, you know, we share a father. They didn't have my up-to-date number or phone number. No one, I guess no one did. I don't really know why. A couple people did, so I was a bit confused. But, yeah, they knew where I worked, and she sent it to the work email. And that's how I found out.
Oh, God.
It was like a, you know, the 9 a.m. break when you go get breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, hey, let me check my email. And then I read it and I was just like, oh. But she sat there and, you know, she gave her patience to somebody else. Like, she was just very comforting. And I hadn't seen that from white people.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me change my outlook on white people. And that was it. So you can't change your mind. But you have to be exposed to other cultures and other people. So it is possible. I take that back. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. Think about, like, on the other end with racism, people who are racist for half their lives and then end up marrying, like, a black person because they realize, oh, I was ignorant.
Yeah. But the first step is conversation, and we just don't do that in this society anymore.
Agreed. That's why I shouted you out as my biggest.
It always ends up in an argument. It ends up in an argument.
Conversations.
That's true.
Why do people not talk anymore? I went to,
we're so divided.
Yeah. I went to Staples yesterday to do TSA pre-check.
They're still open?
And, yep, they are.
I didn't realize it.
And even though I had an appointment, there was a line because the computer system shut down or whatever. So the woman was like, here's a 20% coupon. I'll call your name. So, of course, then I find I need a keyboard that's quieter. So I pick out a keyboard and go buy it. And the cashier woman was very friendly and very talkative and starts asking me, I was like dressed up in work clothes, and she's asking me all about the company. And she's telling me that she's new to Atlanta and that she just moved here in May. I mean, I literally found out this whole woman's life, but we had a conversation for at least 20 minutes. I turned around at one point and I'm like, oh, there is a line behind me. And because I assumed for a long time there wasn't, but eventually there was. But she was telling me that she moved here because she married a man who she had known for many years. But so then they get married and she moves to Atlanta to live with him. And within like 2 weeks of moving here, he started getting like pretty verbally aggressive and abusive. And like within a few months, she moved out because she was scared and freaked out. It was a very sad story. But here we are, like two random strangers. And I was like, you know, this woman just really needs someone to listen to her and hear her out. And so I did that and told her that I thought she made the right decision and that she was being smart for herself, watching out for herself, and that a true love will come if she can love herself, like, and respect herself. Because she was like, I just wonder if I should go back to him. I'm like, no, sister, don't you do that. But it was just so interesting because it was, while we were having this conversation, I was thinking about, like, this is just very rare that people, I mean, she was a very open person. I found out about her whole life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All of this at a Staples.
Yeah. And then I went to go, I was finally called for my TSA pre-check. And I'm like talking to the girl who's doing it, who's clearly very busy, back to back to back people that she's helping. And I'm like, do you need to have some water? Like, you look like you, you know, may need a break. She was like, it's okay, I'm fine. And then my new friend comes over and she's like, have you had water? She's expecting. And I'm like, oh, congratulations. And then she starts telling me how she is excited, she's expecting, but she's been pregnant before and lost the baby. She had a stillbirth And it's because she was under so much stress. And I'm like, what is happening in the Staples where I am just learning everything about everyone? But so then
what
again,
the fuck is myself, why?
I don't
why
know.
Why are they these telling you everything?
I don't, seriously, these things happen to me. So then I'm like, oh my God. Sorry to hear that. That must have been so traumatizing. You know, how are you doing with this pregnancy? And then I went all nurse mode on her and I was like, are you taking your prenatal hormones and are you getting prenatal care? Which she wasn't taking vitamins. Did I say hormones?
I was about to say, you said hormone. I was like, wait, what? I didn't know that was a part of it.
No, it's not. You have enough of those in that time. No, prenatal vitamins. And so she was like, should I go buy some? I was like, yes. After your shift ends, I want you to go over to a Whole Foods or Target and go buy some prenatal vitamins. The end.
Look at you. Yeah. What Staples is this? Because I'm never fucking going.
You would have hated it. It's the one off of Ponce.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, yo, ma'am, I'm just trying to get my appointment.
You would have. I can't even imagine your face if you had.
I'm like, I'm sorry about the dude. You probably should go back where you moved from, but I gotta go.
But it's really funny you say that, because when she was telling me this and she's like telling me how she's so heartbroken, I'm like, I do know a good single man.
Yeah, no, don't do that. That's not gonna work. She's coming off of trauma to deal with someone who has a lot on his mind.
Yeah, I think that she.
I'm not easy to live with.
Yeah, I didn't get the feeling she was your type. But anyways, that being said, conversation is important, and sometimes people just need someone to talk to.
Very true.
Mic drop.
That's well said. That is well said.
On that note.
Yeah, I feel like we solved all the world's problems in an episode.
Ew.
It's very stressful.
It stayed very positive in a negative time.
Well, yeah, because there's no point of us being like super depressed. No, that's the whole point of this, was an escape. And for a while there, we were in a dark hole. So, no, I'm not going to let the world keep kicking our ass.
Yeah.
Dude, the flu is doing that for me. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, we got the runoff in December. That's exciting.
I think I may honestly volunteer to get people to vote.
They're doing a lot of door-to-doors. So go buy you a clipboard.
Yep.
Exactly. I don't think it's going to help in my county or city. I think they've made their mind up. Henry County's pretty, you know, it's they love the Bulldogs. Yeah, they love. I'll leave it at that. Yeah, go Dogs.
Okay, well.
All right.
Fine. Well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I'm okay, man. Everything's fine. I'm still alive, so that's a step in the right direction.
Will you keep drinking your fluids, taking your hormones and vitamins?
Naturally, yes.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Oh, toodles. Rest in peace. Well, take back the toodles. It's not going to be super depressing, but he is from our city, so I do want to say this. Rest in peace to Takeoff, whose funeral is tomorrow. And he was a member of the Migos. So rest in peace to him. I met him a couple of times. He seemed like a cool dude. I didn't listen to their music, but he's from Georgia, so I wanted to give him a shout out. Okay, now say
toodles.
It. There it is. All right.